something ain't right. Gotta hear the latest news of the day. What crazy thing did our president say? There's commies to the left of me, Nazis to the right. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew. Here I am listening to Justice and Drew.
Then I look at you, and the world's alright with me. Just one look at you.
Can you dig it?
And I know it's gonna be.
Can you dig it?
It is Monday, and Justice and Drew are on the air for a three-hour extravaganza of news and information and commentary and silliness.
They're really selling it now.
Good morning. I am Drew. That's John.
Hello.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing all right.
You have a good weekend?
Yeah, it was okay.
It's all right.
Got out a bit.
The weather was beautiful.
I did. Did celebrate an Earth Day by riding my bike.
I celebrated Earth Day by smoking a cigar.
Yeah. Sam, how did you celebrate Earth Day?
By shoveling horse poop.
And I composted an old girlfriend.
Right. Yeah, we're going to get into that. If you wanted to celebrate Earth Day, that's the best way to do it, according to the founder.
Honoring the founder.
What in the world?
Yeah.
You haven't read the prep today, have you?
Not that part of the prep, apparently.
I'm quickly reminded of early on to when I started at this wonderful establishment, how one Sam would describe how you could dispose of a body.
If you bury a body in manure, it'll be gone very quickly.
Is that what you were doing this weekend, celebrating Earth Day?
I will not confirm.
Okay. All right.
Her and the founder of Earth Day have something in common. Yeah.
Did he use the horse manure to compost his girlfriend?
I think any kind of manure, really. It just needs to be hot.
Yes.
You know, whatever manure you have laying around.
Yeah, pretty much.
It just needs to be hot.
Yeah.
Gross.
Boy, the Earth...
Manure will literally just set on fire randomly.
The whole Earth Day... sort of movement. It isn't what it used to be. There used to be the Earth Hour, you know, and it doesn't get hardly any attention anymore. It kind of comes and goes.
They had an Earth Hour a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't get talked about like it normally.
Because it's dumb.
I know it's dumb. So is Earth Day.
Every day's Earth Day.
Well, exactly. That's why it's not important anymore. See, I think we should change Earth Day. And Earth Day should now be transformed into a day where we don't act like irrational idiots. Because we really have done a good job of sort of making every day Earth Day. Maybe if we take Earth Day and make it into a day where you don't act dumb, maybe we can make that into a regular thing. It's clear the Star Tribune hasn't taken the hint based off of some stories from over over the weekend. But it was really nice yesterday. Not all the snow had melted on my ride, though, and I went down one particular windy trail. And it took about 20 minutes longer because of because I went early in the morning, all the ice that was still on the trail.
Man, the snow that's left that's sticking around is some hardcore snow.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I mean, you get 2 days of near 70 degrees and they're still there.
Yeah, it can't quit us.
Yeah.
Well, those piles were deep, man.
Yeah.
They were deep.
Yeah.
Our deck is finally cleared off. I sat out and enjoyed it yesterday. Had a nice cigar. It's nice. All right, spring is here.
Yeah.
When I can sit on my deck. We get the umbrella out.
That's it. We're done.
We're done.
Are we done?
Are we sure? I don't know.
No, I am not sure.
I don't think any of us can really be sure because it's kind of a weird feeling because it was so beautiful. But the whole time that I'm just enjoying the sunshine.
When's it going to turn?
Yeah, there's this feeling it's kind of like being a Vikings fan. Like when you're on a winning streak and you're just like, when is this going to go bad?
When's this going to turn?
Yeah.
It's a really, really good example.
Yeah. Well, May snow is not unheard of.
No.
We've gotten May snow before, so brace yourselves.
Well, I think, what was it? Was it August is the only month in Minnesota that has no recorded snow?
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, really?
So think about that.
That's insane.
It's a weird place to live.
People choose to live here.
On the show today, Andrew Langer, president of the Institute for Liberty, our D.C. correspondent, will be joining us just before 7 o'clock this morning. Hillary Clinton not on the ballot is the star of the GOT midterm plans. Yeah, because the Dems don't have any leadership. So there's nobody for the GOP to go and point at who's awful because there's
and she
there's,
won't go away. She's
and
like
she won't go away. Right.
We can't get rid of her.
You're right.
Hillary's our favorite right. own super
yeah.
gonorrhea.
Yeah, yeah.
She's the super gonorrhea of politics.
And there's no medication to get rid of her.
Antibiotic proof.
I mean, if she would go away
right.
and stop commenting on what happened.
Maybe somebody else could
Maybe
pop up to
stop talking about
take
her.
Take the leadership position. But right now, that's all they have. And she's not running for anything.
She's like those deep piles of snow. Just, it's,
that's right.
She's still there.
Dirty.
Yeah, dirty.
Just filled with gunk. You know, got to tell the sun, you know, keep your mouth away from the dirty snow, son. This is gross.
It'll it's make
all
you
hard.
Sick.
Your mouth away from Hillary.
Yeah, no, I wasn't going to say that.
But also that.
What, we have other people on the show today.
At 7:30 this morning, Holly Harris, the executive director of the Justice Action Network, is going to be in studio, and we will be joined over the phone by Representative Jason Lewis in that segment, going to be talking about criminal justice reform and some of the efforts that they have been working together on.
Here we got Mark Lauder, a frequent guest of the show. He's going to be calling in just after 8:30 this morning.
Friend of the show now.
Friend of the show, Mark Lauder.
He's achieved that status.
We're going to talk to him about that. Totally worthwhile, not waste of time at all, lawsuit the DNC filed.
Right.
Boy, how desperate are they?
It's a fundraising measure. That's all that is. That is nothing more than we need to raise some money.
So stupid.
With all this talk about a blue wave coming. The Republicans are doing really well in the fundraising.
Yeah, yeah. The Dems need a green wave. They need a green wave of cash.
They need a money tsunami.
Is what they need to be calling for.
Sam has been in there, however, scouring the internet and finding the top five stories from over the weekend that you absolutely must be aware of before you can even dream about starting your Monday. And we will bring you those next right here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. Justice and Drew, along with Sam, got your top five on the way. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. You know, Drew, you mentioned the Earth Day founder a moment ago. Real quick, Ira Einhorn, he was the environmental activist who presided over the very first Earth Day back on April 22nd, 1970. He claimed that Earth Day was his idea and was such a fan of recycling that he apparently killed and composed his girlfriend. He recycled her.
Yeah, he composted her.
Yeah, yeah. It wasn't intentional, apparently, but it was what led the police to discover the body of Helen Holly Maddox in September of 1977. So the quick story goes, he was a big part of the progressive movement in the 60s and 70s, became the father of the environmentalist movement. For those that don't know, too, I mean, that's kind of how the whole, a lot of your green agenda was co-opted at this point in time when they couldn't push their socialist movement out in public. So they hopped on the environmental bandwagon and kind of co-opted that. We see that happen in everything.
Yeah, no, it's very common. I mean, you take something that is very populist, you know, has some sort of, no pun intended, organic appeal that everybody can sort of get on board with. And then you get those that want to, you know, push a completely different agenda, jump on board. Happened early on with the environmentalist agenda, and which is why, you know, conservatives typically, you know, will oppose government moves towards environmentalism, not because we don't care about the environment, but because we see the real agenda at play, which is often more economic in nature.
A few years after the first Earth Day, Einhorn had broke up with his girlfriend, Holly. She was reported missing a few days later. Police questioned him, and he said that she simply had gone out to pick up ingredients for a vegetarian meal. 18 months later, she still hadn't reappeared. So long.
It's hard to find a good vegetarian meal.
True story. You know, I did that.
A lot of restaurants were on the vegetarian bandwagon.
This is from Daily Wire. I know they didn't make it up. That little bit sounds made up. Like, of course, he said she went out to find for a vegetarian meal. I just sound anyway. So the police returned back to his apartment and they observed a strange liquid leaking from his closet ceiling. Gross. That's where they found her composted body stuffed in a suitcase and covered with air fresheners.
Oh,
it was like seven.
See, in a rational world, we would not celebrate a holiday founded by that guy.
In a rational world.
In a rational world, we would not. We would not. They'd come up with something different. They'd come up with something new.
I have some questions about this, though. Because, so, he put her in a suitcase
right.
above his closet.
Right. And his ceiling, yeah,
but
yeah,
did
his closet
he
ceiling.
Really... So, okay, so he's a terrible person, obviously.
Right.
But did he really compost his girlfriend? Or did they just say that because he's, like, the founder of Earth Day?
No, they just said that. He did it unintentionally.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
they just used the word compost. Because when you say compost, I think he put her in, like, a compost right. bin and it's dirt.
Like
whatever.
What you do.
Right, exactly.
Right. No, he didn't go that route. He did this by mistake.
Help grow his melons.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, include her in his garden.
You're 100% correct, though, Drew. When you look at all the controversies around things like statues and the things that those people may have done back in an earlier time, yet this guy killed his girlfriend, shoved her in a suitcase, and put her in a closet and left her there.
Right.
Hey, Earth Day.
If you're on the right side of an issue, and I don't mean right as in conservative, I mean if you're on the popularly accepted side of an issue, you can never be disgraced.
Right.
Like, nothing you can... We got a story about Al Franken later about how he's back on the speaking circuit. They're honored to host him. You right. can never be disgraced if you are on the left or if you are on the correct side of an issue.
Oh, and that's why you often hear that argument coming from the anti-Trump people. Well, Trump could go and hurt somebody in public in front of everybody. It doesn't matter right. to anybody.
Bill Clinton.
Thank you.
There's no shaming or disgracing if you're on the left, if you're on the progressive side of an issue.
You know what else there's also no shaming?
What's that?
And Sam's top five.
That's right.
Number one.
Four people are unfortunately dead in a Waffle House shooting in Tennessee, and the suspect is still at large. From the Associated Press, a gunman wearing nothing but a green jacket and brandishing an assault rifle stormed a Waffle House restaurant in Nashville and shot four people to death before dawn on Sunday. Police credited a customer with saving lives by wrestling the assailant's weapon away.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. It's just the green jacket, yeah, right?
The headlines were naked gunman.
Naked gunman. It was that's all that he was wearing.
And okay. the guy that took the gun away, he wasn't armed. I mean, an unarmed individual went after this guy and got the weapon away. That's amazing.
The gunman shot people in the parking lot before entering the restaurant, where he continued firing until a customer grabbed the rifle. Four people were also wounded before the gunman fled, shedding his jacket and apparently being completely naked. Authorities said that they were searching for the suspect, or are still searching for the suspect, 29-year-old Travis Ranking, and said that they were drafting murder warrants. I think that they did draft murder warrants for him. Nashville police tweeted that the pickup truck that the gunman drove to the restaurant was registered to the man. Police identified the man who grabbed the weapon as 29-year-old James Shaw Jr. Shaw told the Tennessean in an interview that he was just trying to get himself out. He said, "I saw the opportunity and pretty much took it." The newspaper reported that Shaw was grazed by a bullet, treated, and released. Shaw said, "When I was in the ambulance to the hospital, I kept thinking that I'm going to wake up and it's not going to be real. It is something out of a movie. I'm okay, though, but I hate that it happened." The police spokesman said that three people died at the restaurant and one person died at the hospital, where two others are being treated for gunshot wounds as well. The medical center spokeswoman, Jennifer Wetzel, said that one was in critical condition and the other is in critical but stable condition. And I did check, and they still haven't, it looks like, still have not found this guy.
No, I just looked, too, and he's been placed on the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation's top 10 most wanted list. They still haven't got him.
Yeah, the Tennessee schools, or Nashville public schools, are on lockout mode today. I assume that means that they're shut down, that they're not going to school today. And yeah, they've got 80 officers joined by the Tennessee Highway Patrol, the FBI, the ATF, all looking for this guy.
Aaron said that the gunman arrived at the restaurant and waited in the parking lot for 4 minutes before shooting two people outside. And at some point after the gunman entered, Shaw grabbed the rifle and tossed it over a counter. And the gunman fled and was seen walking nude on a road. Police were still searching for him as of right now amid a steady rain much more than 10 hours after the shooting. I think now at this point we're 24 hours after the shooting.
It's crazy they haven't caught him yet. I imagine that this probably won't go on for very long. This is getting so much attention right now. Somebody's bound to see him soon.
He can't have gotten too far. No. This guy's got a troubled past. U.S. Secret Service agents arrested him last July for being in a restricted area near the White House. He was detained after refusing to leave the restricted area, saying he wanted to meet President Donald Trump. State police in Illinois, where this guy lived until last fall, revoked his state firearms card at the request of the FBI. Four guns were taken from him. They were given to his father on the promise that he would keep the weapons secure and out of his possession. But the father has since acknowledged that he did give the guns back to his son.
Yeah, man. It's another one of those examples of here you've got a guy that's got this background. He's well known, but hasn't done anything that you can go and lock him up for. And when you have somebody who's decided to go and murder people, it's really difficult to stop them. You just, you know, and this guy was clearly disturbed and well known. How many different times are we going to see, you know, stories like this? Yeah, just hopefully they catch him soon.
He's had plenty of run-ins with the law in the past. We will continue with Sam's top five right after this.
Justice.
Our D.C. correspondent, Andrew Langer, will be joining us in just shy of 30 minutes. That's powered by Randy's Electric at 7:35. In just about an hour, we've got Holly Harris, the executive director of the Justice Action Network, on the way. She'll be in studio. And on the phone, Representative Jason Lewis will be joining us in that segment as well.
Yeah, we got a busy morning this morning. Right now, we're in the middle of Sam's Top 5 here on Twin Cities News Talk.
Number 2.
Utah Republican delegates have forced Mitt Romney into a primary election with state lawmaker Mike Kennedy in the race for the U.S. Senate.
This was a surprise. I was very surprised by this.
From the Salt Lake Tribune, after 11 hours of political elbowing and shoving at the Utah Republican Convention, held appropriately at a hockey arena, delegates forced Mitt Romney into a primary election against State Representative Mike Kennedy in the U.S. Senate race.
Oddly thrown off by the location.
I was super thrown off by the location.
I didn't know hockey had made it to Utah.
Yeah, why was it appropriately at a
hockey
Well,
because race? It ended up being sort of, you know, it would be a fight. It was a fight. Like, it was a fight. You know, it was a fight in hockey. So they were just, so the Salt Lake Tribune was trying to be clever.
Nice try, Salt Lake Tribune. Keep trying. In fact, Kennedy, a doctor and a lawyer, finished in first place at the convention with 51% of the vote to Romney's 49%. The former GOP presidential nominee fell far short of the 60% needed to clinch the nomination outright. Freshman Representative John Curtis suffered the same fate as Romney, pushed into a primary against former state representative Chris Herod, an ultra-conservative who made his reputation on a tough anti-illegal immigration stance. But Curtis, who has been in office just 5 months after winning last year's special election, at least won 59% of the vote, just missing the 60% threshold. Meanwhile, Representatives Rob Bishop and Chris Stewart easily managed to eliminate their convention opponents and will proceed directly to the November 6th general election. Maya Love did not draw a Republican challenger, and a few state legislative incumbents, though, also were roughed up in the Maverick Center and set to primaries and or were eliminated.
Quick side note, I know he's not the first or the last, but this Mike Kennedy, a doctor and a lawyer, what is this, you need more school?
Yeah, well, yeah, school?
Yeah, the original schooling wasn't enough.
Yeah.
I'm going to be a carpenter next.
Yeah. She's and a real estate agent.
It's like, talk about an overachiever. Pick one.
Right? All right. Neither here, like, nor there.
We get it. You're awesome. Just pick one career.
True to what you said, man. The old political rules don't apply anymore. What was inevitable is no longer inevitable. That's why you have to laugh a little bit at the sort of the punditry going on leading into the midterm elections and how people are making these assumptions. Oh, it's going to go this way. Oh, blue wave. Man, nobody really knows, just like this last election.
Yeah, I expect Romney will do well in the primary. You know, that's typically how these things go. It's with the ones that go to the conventions might not, you know, be in favor of the more popular or populist candidate, but you go to a primary and they'll do really well. We'll see, though. I mean, this was definitely a surprise.
Number 3.
The CDC says throw away your romaine lettuce unless you want E. coli.
Yeah.
or it could be. It's not a guarantee.
And then I may have taken some liberties with how that headline was written.
If you want to err on the side of caution, one might want to toss that head of lettuce.
If you like E. coli, eat salads.
Romaine by itself is kind of boring.
Yeah, yeah. Romaine cautious is what we're saying.
That was probably one of the best dad jokes I think I've ever heard.
You know what?
Good job.
I'm out. You got enough guests.
Good job. From the Pioneer Press, U.S. health officials on Friday told consumers to throw away any store-bought romaine lettuce they have in their kitchens and warned restaurants not to serve it amid an E. coli outbreak that has sickened more than 50 people in several states. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention expanded its warning about tainted romaine from Arizona, saying information from new illnesses led it to caution against eating any forms of the lettuce that may have come from the city of Yuma. Officials have not found the origin of the contaminated vegetables. Previously, CDC officials had only warned against chopped romaine by itself or as part of salads and salad mixes, but they are now extending the risk to heads or hearts of romaine lettuce. People at an Alaska correctional facility recently reported feeling ill after eating from whole heads of romaine lettuce. They're just eating heads of romaine.
You see them holding a
exactly. All these inmates in their orange jumpsuits just see full heads of lettuce jumping down on them.
I'm sorry, this is a terribly serious story.
Ridiculous.
Those poor inmates with their heads of lettuce. Their lettuce was traced to be harvested in the Yuma region.
Lettuce heads.
So far, the outbreak has infected 53 people in 16 states. At least 31 have been hospitalized. This is very serious, including 5 with kidney failure. No deaths have been reported, so we're free to joke.
Yeah, for now.
That is the standard. If anybody dies, we'll delete the podcast.
Correct. Symptoms of E. coli infection include diarrhea, severe stomach cramps, and vomiting.
I just want to get you to laugh through that. That's all.
It's not a funny story.
It can be. We're laughing.
It really can be. The CDC's updated advisory said that consumers nationwide should not buy or eat romaine lettuce from a grocery store or
restaurant.
This
is clearly pushed by Big Iceberg.
Unless they can get confirmation that it did not come from Yuma.
Yeah. Big spinach.
Big cabbage. Have some slaw.
Big cabbage.
Eat the kale.
maybe butter lettuce.
Look,
maybe try that.
The reality of this
is lettuce doesn't have poop on it.
For most people, it's usually the biggest selling point, right? That's why you got to wash your heads of lettuce
Please
first.
Please wash your vegetables.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. By the time most people hear this story, like if you go into your fridge with a head, you probably got to throw it away anyway. Like by the time you see this, you're probably more than likely that head of lettuce has been in the refrigerator already too long.
Yeah.
By the time you see this, if you have a random head of romaine lettuce sitting in a drawer, it's probably gone bad by now.
Can rabbits suffer from E. coli? Because that's typically our go to lettuce for buttons.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe.
She gets romaine and parsley.
Hearts of romaine.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't know.
We'll see.
Okay.
Number 4.
I don't need rabbit diarrhea.
A student gun control rally at the Minnesota Capitol drew more than 1,000 people. We're going to get so many calls of people complaining.
I know. You guys are laughing again.
People hate when we laugh. From the Pioneer Press, more than 1,000 Minnesota teens crowded the Capitol steps on Friday at a rally calling for tougher gun control measures. The effort, planned locally by Minnesota Students for Change, brought kids from 70 schools across the state, including Twin Cities area schools, as well as Rochester, Faribault, and Duluth. Representatives from Minnesota Youth Collective walked through the crowd offering voter registration forms and taking in an estimated 100 that day.
Because that's what it's about.
That's what it's all right. Right. Yeah.
Collective worker Leah Soul, she said, "It's pretty good, especially since only about a quarter of the crowd is eligible to vote." The gun control rally was one of many planned across the United States.
You kind of wasted your time handing out voter registration forms, didn't you?
Right? Right?
There will be another rally coming up this weekend, and we'll talk with Rob Doerr later in the week about it. Coming up on Saturday, the Minnesota Gun Owners Caucus is having a Second Amendment Minnesota Gun Owners Rally this Saturday from noon to 2 at the state capitol. It'll be interesting to see if it gets an equal amount of coverage.
Well, yeah, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this coming up right around 7:15 this morning, getting to a little bit more coverage of the walkouts themselves and commentary. And specifically, some things that I witnessed over the weekend. Clearly, shootings at schools are the least of teenagers' problems, of things that are dangerous for them at the moment. So that'll be coming up next hour.
Number 5.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson surprised a Stillwater teen who asked him to prom. From the Pioneer Press, the senior at Stillwater Area High School has a Dwayne Johnson pillow, Dwayne Johnson t-shirts, and a Dwayne Johnson action figure. And for her birthday, her friends got her a life-size cardboard cutout of her favorite movie star. That's a lot of cardboard.
Did you see her pillow? It's one of his arms.
Is it actually the... Okay.
But if you were The Rock, why wouldn't you make one?
She even dresses Sleep The Rock on my bicep. For Halloween.
Yeah, hard pillow.
Why you make it...
You can make it soft.
Make it soft.
In a video posted on Sunday on Twitter, Katie dressed like The Rock in a black t-shirt, jeans, and a fanny pack, and asked Johnson a question. She said, "Will you rock it with me at prom?" Johnson responded,
And he still responded?
He did. Johnson responded Friday morning in a recorded announcement broadcast throughout the high school. Katie was in her AP statistics class at the time. Johnson said in the announcement, "I'm going to start this Friday announcement off with a little bit of fun and a little bit of excitement. You're probably thinking, what? What is The Rock doing on our intercom system? Well, I'm sending a message to a very special young lady, and her name is Miss Katie Kelsenberg." Johnson said Katie was cool and awesome for inviting him to the prom, which will be May 5th at the Myth in Maplewood. But he said that he couldn't attend because he will be shooting the movie Jungle Cruise in Hawaii. Instead, he said that he had rented out the Marcus Oakdale Cinema for Katie and all of her favorite friends and closest family members to watch his latest movie, Rampage, on Saturday afternoon, complete with all the popcorn and candy and soda they can eat and drink.
That's awesome. Yeah, good for him. That's really cool.
It's super cool. It's really, really cool of him. Katie's reaction was caught on videotape and shared on the school's Facebook page on Friday morning. A Warner Brothers representative contacted school officials on Thursday to say that The Rock wanted to surprise Katie. That's according to a spokeswoman for the district. And Katie said on Friday afternoon after the announcement, "I couldn't believe it. I was so surprised. I just kept thinking he saw me. He knows who I am." Katie, who lives in Afton and will attend the University of Minnesota next fall, said that she became a fan about 5 years ago after watching a few of Johnson's movies. When she learned how kind he was to his fans, she was hooked. She said, "I like that he interacts with his fans so well. He takes time out of his day to connect with them." And Katie's date for the May 5th prom, she will actually just go with friends. And now that Johnson and Katie are best friends, Johnson said in the morning announcement he is making himself an honorary pony, referring, of course, to the Stillwater mascot, the ponies. He said, "That is correct. I am officially a pony. The Rock is a pony."
All right.
Good for him.
The Rock is a pony.
The Rock is a pony. I can get on board with that.
That's cool. I mean, and she's right. I follow Dwayne The Rock Johnson on Twitter, and he does. I mean, every day he'll go on a little tweet storm where he's interacting and responding to fans, and he's very cordial. He's very friendly. He's very cool about it. He seems like a pretty genuine, decent guy.
He's got quite the potty mouth on Twitter. I don't know if you noticed that or not.
Does he really?
Yeah, I was looking through because I was reading the story over the weekend that I went to was his Twitter feed because it's linked in there. And like the next one down, he's like dropping F-bombs. It just took me off guard. That Jungle Cruise, it's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Emily Blunt. Is also going to be in that movie. They're saying it's supposed to be almost like an Indiana Jones-esque. It is based off of loosely based off of the Disneyland ride that bears the same name. But that is cool of the Rock. It's a bummer he can't go.
I know, that'd be really awesome.
Like if you were her, you'd be like, "Oh my god, that's great."
Oh my god, The Rock's going to go pro.
He's got to be the busiest movie star right now though, because I mean there is a Rock movie. There's a Dwayne Johnson movie. As soon as one leaves theaters, another one is in.
Yeah.
And he's constantly, he's filming, you know, he's got that. He's got his Baller series on HBO. I mean, that guy's got it. He just goes, man. He constantly.
I'm looking forward to Sky Hard. That looks really good. I don't even know the real name of that movie.
I don't either.
I think it's Skyscraper.
I don't know.
You haven't seen the trailer for you got to watch it. It's basically Sky Hard. It's like Die Hard, but it's on a skyscraper, and it's similar premise. But the funny thing about that movie, you watch the trailer, is that he's a war vet, so he's lost part of his right leg. So that's how they make him human.
It's kind of like when you take a really like beautiful woman and just put glasses on her, and you're like, oh, she's geeky and
average
now.
So in order to make it a little bit more believable for The Rock, they have to go and they had to cut off a limb, essentially, to make him relatable to average people. And even then, he's jumping off of cranes onto the side of the building based off the trailer. So good job, Sam.
Thank you. Nicely done.
Excellent. Top five, as usual.
Thanks. Real quick, out of Care 11, this story really annoys me. It probably too much, but it's so smarmy. Okay, so this is the headline: Trump says North Korea agreed to denuclearization. It hasn't. North Korea said Friday it would suspend nuclear tests and intercontinental ballistic missile launches, but stop short of committing to abandon nuclear weapons.
Yeah, take that, Trump.
That's all it is!
The reaction to the progress that has been made on North Korea has absolutely flabbergasted me, because this is historic stuff, and this is amazing progress that's been made. Does it mean that we're going to, you know, that there's going to be some sort of normalized relations in the near future? Probably not.
Right.
But they have made a ton of concessions, and the United States hasn't made any. But yet you've got the media, and you got a lot of people out there on the left that simply, because they absolutely refuse to give Trump an iota of credit, you get headlines and stories like this.
Yeah, President Donald Trump Sunday claimed North Korea had agreed to denuclearization before his potential meeting with Kim Jong-un, but that's not the case. North Korea stopped short of saying it has any intention of abandoning its nuclear arsenal, with Kim making clear that nukes remain a treasured sword. Trump nonetheless tweeted Sunday that the North had agreed to nuclearization, so great for the world, site closure, and no more testing. And again, look, okay, maybe Trump should have worded it better, but anybody with half a brain knows what he was talking about. We all knew the details of the story before he tweeted it. Right. We knew exactly what he was referring
to. And it's progress.
Right.
You know, it's very positive progress. The left would rather have North Korea remain a nuclear threat than give Trump any sort of credit or even acknowledge that this might be a tiny little win for the United States and for the rest of the world. Rather, they would rather North Korea remain a nuclear threat.
Oh, yeah. Being committed to the concept of denuclearization, however, it's not the same as agreeing to it, as Trump claims. It's so stupid. Oh, there's one more line
so
in here.
Tedious.
It talks about South Korea set to meet with North Korea. Kim has expressed genuine interest in dealing away his nuclear weapons. The North for decades has been pushing a concept of denuclearization that bears no resemblance to the American definition. And then you get further in, it says this. That still doesn't address North Korea's arsenal that now includes purported thermonuclear warheads and developmental ICBMs developed during the decades-long cycle of crisis, stalemates, and broken promises. But aren't these the same outlets that when we were close to doing a preemptive strike, that were sitting back going, oh, but North Korea won't go and do anything like that. They're not that stupid. But of course, now that we actually have a drawdown of arms, it's, well, they still have an arsenal there.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
We will discuss this and a lot more coming up with our DC correspondent, Andrew Linger, powered by Randy's Electric, next.
Justice.